In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
God damn it, Darren, come on!
I'm a little bit nervous.
Bury me in the snow and leave me here.
That's if they haven't made up any other stories.
I also ate poison berries.
That's not my fault.
What words could it be?
Listen, the ingenuity to make cake...
I just want one and I want it signed, please.
And tear our limbs from our body.
Are you traveling? Like,
I mean, I'm a little speechless.
Oh, I mean, one is the best.
Have you considered using that type of pepper over there?
I've been trusting bakers for a long time.
They're killing machines. Look at them.
I forgot to introduce myself. The name's Mogdul.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 63, Daily Bread.
MVP this week goes to Mutant Sanity, nominated anonymously. They're going to be caught up so soon, so this MVP goes out to you when you hear it, Muted Sanity. And thanks for listening.
Do you want to be MVP or know someone who deserves a shout-out? Join us on Discord and check out the Dice Shame MVP channel's pinned post for a link to the submission form. We can't wait to shout you out.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Let's do it.
Woo!
If you could have any D&D monster shrunk small and made to be your little pet or familiar, what creature would you pick? What stands out to you? What do you think is the best part of that guy, little critter?
Best part of that guy?
Can we expand this to anything, like any creature beyond in media? Because
sure,
as a good player, I don't know that many monsters.
Ooh, Harlan, you get a shiny gold star for that.
I think the spirit of the question is, if you could have any monster shrunk small to be made a fun little pet, what do you want?
Is everyone else immediately going to something that's normally really big? Immediately, my mind is like, okay, Godzilla, no, Mothra, no. Like, I don't know why, but because the question is small, I'm immediately defaulting to
Mothra,
like the biggest
thing.
So I
just got
possible.
A little moth, but it's Mothra.
Well, that's why. And then I'm like, wait, no, that's dumb.
Rawr!
What if it's something already small and I want it to be really small?
I mean, that's cool too. Just something that's made like that's house great. Pet friendly.
Sure, sure, sure. I mean, dragon, right?
I mean, it's a classic.
Dragon would be amazing. I mean, the breath weapon would suck. You'd have to train it not to light everything on fire.
There's a movie about how to train your dragon, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should watch. It's like instructional.
It's instructional.
You're being sarcastic, right?
But unless it's like an electric breath weapon and you can rig up a little battery.
Is this creature, though, like guaranteed dependent on you? Like, is it you're going to have to fight it?
It can't get its own job.
No. I was picturing, like, you know, that kind of familiar thing, just so it's like, you know, this is your pet. Okay. There's a real connection there.
Yeah, probably... A Scorpion King. The Scorpion King.
Probably
that's just a toddler merged onto a scorpion body.
Smooth face. Like
a tiny mummy lord.
A baby werewolf. No, it's just a kid most of the time. You're like, fuck.
He's so cute. You're like,
fuck, I just gotta take this fucking kid.
I just have a baby now.
I gotta go, my kid's trying to chew my damn leg off.
Oh,
that's
man.
Good.
I want a Christine car. Stephen
what?
King.
What? I forgot that that
but
was
a matchbox.
Monster. So tiny.
I want a pumpkin head. I want a pumpkin head monster.
There you are.
You guys seen that movie?
Demon.
No.
Oh, it's so good.
What's yours, Rob?
The one that jumped out at me is a mimic.
Oh,
I would love
cool.
a little mimic pet. Oh, it can be anything. Be like, fuck, I forgot my pen. Hey, buddy, do you want to turn to a pen for a second and we can, you know, write this check or whatever you need a pen
would
for?
Would you be writing with ink or it's
God, are you from
blood
the 80s?
And piss and shit.
that was my go-to. Like, oh, I need sunglasses. I forgot my sunglasses. Hey, friend, you want to mimic sunglasses for a second? Let's go out and on an adventure.
That's really good, actually. Mimic's a great answer.
I like my dragon answer. I think
dragon's
they'd just
fantastic.
Be really cute.
Yeah. Yeah. No, dragon's fantastic.
Yeah. It'd be like having a little sugar glider around, but
yeah,
way more feisty.
A little bit more brains than...
Mm-hmm.
I just want a little pirate. like a human pirate enemy.
Yarr.
You know, like a CR2, but just like
you can just kick him if you're mad.
Two or three inches tall.
Just like an Indian in the cupboard little pirate guy to wander around like and be like pirate. Your friend.
Harlan's like, yo. Little pirate guy. Yo, go steal that guy's sandwich. Just don't say anything.
Like,
just...
No, I don't want to do it again. No.
Yeah, come on.
You're
a pirate.
I don't want to be a pirate anymore.
You're a pirate. Yeah.
Or like, you know, or like a small banker from D&D. Like, they could be an enemy, right?
Like a little noble.
I mean, anything is possible.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a communist, they are.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. I think my mind is kind of going one of two places. One is pretty... bad. I think I'm just gonna leave that in the back of my mind. The other one is
we'll just speculate on that for a while.
Sort of like a you know how you have what do they call not a service animal but like a therapy dog or something.
Yeah, okay.
A slave?
Service dogs
dog,
are for
like, how dare you?
No, they're like for like walking around and stuff. This would be like that therapy dog. What's the name? What's the
sure,
word?
Sure, like an emotional support animal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Emotional support animal. But I'm thinking more of like a little door in my pocket, you know, that I'm like
my emotional support door.
Doran, I'm kind of struggling with this right now, and you kind of pull him out. You're like, "Hey, can you What are you doing today? Can we chat? Like, you want to go for a walk or something?
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
Exactly.
Doran, I really can't take this phone call. Can you just take this phone call for me?
Hello? Would you like to discuss your mortgage?
More just like someone to chat with when you're really on the down. I could see myself going on a hike in the woods. Or I've been watching that Alone. You see that show?
No.
Where they're literally alone in the woods. You know, you kind of get stranded alone or something. Or maybe you're off. You're on your own. You're like, I need someone to chat with. Doran, what are you doing?
So I had two thoughts that jumped to mind immediately.
Pocket-sized Doran.
Which is one, it's like, oh, you just want a friend. Which
oh, God, no. That's so sad now.
Yeah.
Alex just wants a friend.
That
Alex.
Can't leave. A friend that doesn't
lives in your pocket.
And they can go in my pocket.
But they can't leave. Then it reminded me of, like, tech bros reinventing stuff, where there was a tweet recently that was like, what if we had a in-person podcast and you like didn't record it, but you could like have topics and talk about stuff and there could even be snacks. And it was like, yeah, tech bros reinventing hanging out. And it was like,
yeah,
I thought you were going to say tech bros reinvented the Furby, which I was totally into for a second. I was like, oh man, Furby's coming back, but in like a new way for like adults. Cause that's like a friend.
It's called Long Furby. And
oh no.
Forever Furby.
Yeah.
No, the Long Furby. And I love the Long Furby.
Standing tall.
Oh no.
Oh, I know. I'd want like a little T-Rex.
Ooh.
That'd be fun.
That'd be fun, right? Like a little T-Rex to like throw chicken wing bones at.
It's very much like having a turkey, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, I would want the Steven Spielberg furless, featherless one. I don't want none of this. I don't want any of this woke dinosaur shit. I want 90s
waxed
when things were fucked up.
The woke people came for my dinosaur and they put feathers on it.
I want the scientifically inaccurate
the woke mob.
I want Pluto and I want yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I love that
this is the very small portion where I'm anti-woke. It's no Pluto and no fucking dinosaurs with feathers. I'm fucking head in the sand on this shit. Give me my 90s nostalgia in those two specific categories, please.
Oh, you keep telling me that they're like little scavengers and you're ruining it for me. You've ruined my whole life. Oh, see, the one I was going to pick is basically just a feathered dinosaur, so...
Oh, well, there you go. What, a dodo?
No, a quaddle.
Oh. Isn't he the, like, little chest monster from Total Recall?
That's,
Quaddle.
Yeah.
Quaddle. Let me read your future.
Oh, God, I cast a spell.
Oh, you mean...
Wrong.
Oh, sorry. You mean the fucking guy from Phantom Menace.
No.
Oh, no. Anakin!
Watto?
Oh, no.
There's so many autos.
It's a good syllable, all things considered.
I want a 5-inch tall haunted puppet.
Great.
As my pet.
One of the long Furbies?
Yeah. But I want a long Furby short.
A tiny. A short, long Furby.
I do not want a regular Furby. I want a short, long Furby.
There is a monster in D&D called a ragamuffin, which is just like dirty clothes that come alive and are a person. Oh, and now wait. I'm just imagining the like dorm room version of that where it's just like, no, I can't do the laundry. That's my friend. And the clothes just get up and like wave.
I can't do the dishes either because they're my friends too.
Those are mimics and they keep trying to fight me.
All right, shall we do it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's play D&D.
Let's go get some tiny pirates.
Woo!
Yarr!
No, it'd be like, yarr!
Yarr!
After the events of the previous night, the social temperature around camp is a little frosty. Red and Jack take some time apart once again due to a conflict, and Doran and Mari are in the middle a little bit, trying to keep the peace. Red and Mari, you guys are down by the river chatting. Meanwhile, Doran, you're still talking to Jack about what happened last night.
Jack, you know, listen, it sounds to me like you don't really want to tell me what's up. And I don't really understand what's going on, to be totally upfront with you guys. I mean, that's kind of an understatement. I don't really know what's going on a lot of the time. But if there's something I know, it's keeping secrets, and I think we all have things we keep to ourselves, and I think that's okay to a degree, unless it's going to put somebody else at danger. And I mean, sometimes you just gotta trust that people are doing it for the best reasons, you know?
Yeah, I mean that's let's do that. I think we should go in that direction. Nobody's in danger. It's all good, you know, family stuff, right? That's why we're going back to Scarborough, just to confront family stuff. You got anything that you're really excited to say when you get there?
Oh,
been stewing on over all night or the last couple of nights that you,
yeah,
things you might want to
I no, I'm
say to somebody. important?
I'm a little bit nervous as to what's going to come up, because I think there's still some of my family that are quite upset with me. But a few things, you know? My brothers, first of all, though that's, you know, happened when I was young, but still, they didn't really ever get over that, and I think that's kind of been dwelling on it. And then, you know, I think the stories, what happened while I was away at war, you know, I think they've made their way back home. I can't imagine them not making their way back home, and I feel like there's going to be some people that are going to blame me for losing their family members, and I'm a little nervous.
And I mean, that's if they haven't made up any other stories or gotten other information from who knows what source. Very reputable.
Yeah, I'm hoping they don't.
On the way to Scarborough. And
I'm hoping they don't try to, you know, lock me up and try to arrest me for something.
Yeah.
You know,
the mind creates all kinds of terrible stories about what they could be thinking or wanting to do when you get there.
It does. All sorts of things when you don't have all the information in front of you. And so. Maybe you should just talk to Red about what's concerning you.
What? I thought we were talking about Scarborough.
Well, we were, but I was using it as a way to get back to your situation.
Oh.
Hey, what's with your hands? Look, did you burn your hands?
Yeah, it left a bit of a mark. That's all. And Jack picks up some snow to try and, one, hide the thing and then also cool off his hands, which have been burning.
Oh. As Jack leans over to scoop up a big handful of snow, you see that Alistair Noggins has been standing behind Jack the whole time, and he's holding this little tray. It's like a camp plate, basically, of these little rock cakes. These are a gift. I made them just now.
And Dor grabs one and starts eating it, like shoves it in his mouth.
I feel like Red and Mari start walking back over at this point.
They're called Feel Better Cakes. My mom always used to make them for my brother and I when we would fight with each other. And then when we would try to... Sorry, this is really awkward.
Red leans over to Mari and he's like, look at this asshole. God damn it.
I just wanted to say thank you to the four of you for rescuing me yesterday.
What a prick.
From the Thane, because she was definitely going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know that for sure now.
You're welcome. I kind of like this little guy. And I give him a pat on the back.
And it like shakes his whole being.
Yeah.
And then he offers the plate to you, Jack.
That's awfully sweet, Alistair. Thank you. And Jack will take a cake and take a tentative nibble and it's very good.
Thank you. It's my mom's recipe. I mean, I tried. It's been a really long time.
Listen, the ingenuity to make cake after a snowstorm fell on your camp last night without an oven of any kind.
I'm going to be honest. It's mostly the porridge that Mari was just making. I just took it and I put some other ingredients. He looks around shifty.
Oh.
They taste kind of like dirt and sand a little bit. Yeah, it's not bad, though. Very crunchy. Oh, very, very crunchy.
I think you got a little bit of beard in your mouth there, Doran. It's.
Oh, yeah.
I get a very different experience.
He kind of backs away and then turns around and looks for Red and Mari.
Yeah, what did you... That was you.
Did you want to feel better, cake?
I want to feel better, cake. Yeah, I do. Red walks over and snatches one off the tray. And he takes a big bite. And you know, another thing. Well, these are pretty good. And he turns back to Mara and he's like, all right, don't eat one. If he drugged us, one of us has to stay awake. But I had no other choice but to eat it.
Every time.
So you'd be lucky.
Mari's got like all the salmon. She's just like, because Red stalks back. Like he's just like, I'm going back to the camp and leaves all these salmon. So she just collects all of them. And
they're
so
all safe. They froze.
She sighs and sees Alistair and takes a cake and just goes, everyone's in a little bit of a mood today. So maybe just... maybe stay close to Doran. He seems to be the most even keeled. And she slips it in her pocket. She doesn't eat it. She's just got gross fish hands and sort of tosses it back in her coat pocket.
Red walks over to Jack. He's like, hey, are we cool?
It's all good. Jack holds up his cake, sort of like, cheers, and takes another bite of it.
Yeah, and Red's still eating his. He's like, I don't think mine's working.
What does this kick
maybe
in?
It takes some time to kick in.
You gotta wait 45 minutes before you have another one, or else you're gonna feel good.
You don't want to double stack those two.
I get it. I don't get it.
Doran's like, oh no, I'm resistant to poison. This is never going to kick in.
All right, well, let's pack up camp, I guess. Might as well start moving on to Scarborough.
Good job, guys. Yeah. Inspiration all around, by
what?
The way.
What? Oh, hey. Nice.
Hey,
everybody.
Thank you.
The winds through the Grey Peaks bring snow with them, making your travels challenging and even treacherous at times. Days spent carving your way through the snowdrifts and sliding down steep mountain slopes give way to nights, huddled together around your shelter and fire, trying to thaw and regain stamina for the day ahead. The mountain range is uncaring, and your progress feels slight, despite finally being nearly at the doorstep to Doran's ancestral home. You've been on the road for several days, and we come upon the party very frustrated. You've been standing at a closed entranceway to the back passage to Scarborough, where you've been waiting for about 5 hours. Doran has been struggling to remember the secret password that he knew 30 years ago and has been refusing all help from the rest of the party out of sheer motherfucking stubbornness.
God damn it, Doran, come on!
Doran!
We've been waiting here for like 5 hours!
That's not my fault!
Doran, just...
And they must have changed it on me.
Oh my
God. You know you're supposed to change your password every 30 years?
But...
God!
Red is like leaning up against a tree, his back sprawled up against the trunk and his feet laying out, his pack to his side, and like, you know, he's like laying out in the sun, throwing stones into a small muddy puddle.
Is it you've tried all the passwords you know, or that you don't know what passwords to try?
He doesn't remember.
It's a little bit of both.
Is it in Dwarvish? Is it, what's it in? Like, at this point, like, what language? Mari's lying on the ground. She has her pack under her head. She's lying in the snow. She's just sprawled out. She is completely, she's not even looking up. She's just yelling from the ground.
I feel like your feet and my feet are like a few inches apart.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'm like, get your feet over. Stop it. Move your feet over.
I was here first. I was here first.
I said the tree. You were near the tree, but you weren't using the tree as back support. We decided back support rules.
Bury me in the snow and leave me here.
Stinky. Fine. Once Doran opens the fucking door.
You know, it is a dwarvish saying. I mean, why else would it be any other language to get into a dwarven town, Mari?
Don't you sass me right now.
Well, that's what everybody would think is a dwarvish saying. If you were trying to make it a good key that nobody was going to be able to get, would it be dwarvish?
Oh. Is it melon?
What was the first one you guessed?
I thought it was like...
Missimo. It's probably something like melon. That, remember?
Melon? No, it's not melon.
Yeah, but think about this, Doran. And Red kind of sits up a little bit. Remember how many times you fuck up a name? It's probably just a variation of melon. It's like Malone or Nellin or Kellen.
Yeah.
Kieran.
Margaret.
Okay, let me think for a second. I know I've been thinking for 5 hours already, but let me just think for another second here.
Think faster.
You put seconds on seconds and you're here for another 5 hours.
It's definitely something that children dwarves can remember, so it's not too complicated, and it is a dwarven word.
Oh my god.
And it was something that all the dwarves learn.
Jack is leaning against the door. He's sort of under the shadow of the rock face in front of us, kind of looking back towards Doran and then further back from that, Mari and Red sitting in the snow.
I swear to God, Alistair, if you put more leaves on me!
And he like looks up and like sitting in the trunk of the tree, like up on branches, he's like plucking off the dead leaves from the interior of this snowy tree.
I just thought maybe if there was like a clue, like maybe there'd be a clue.
Why would they put a clue in the tree next to the door?
In case someone went away for 25 years... Because his family got mad at him one time, and then he forgot that, I don't know.
I mean, it's probably at this point the best option we have. I don't know. And Mari gets up, and all the snow falls out of her hair. It's just sheets off of her. And then she goes over to the door, and she, like, stares at it, and she's just like, Doran, just... Like, what words could it be? It's a child's word. It's something simple. It's something short. What is the what have you tried? What I'm losing track here because we've just been laying here and my head's full of snow.
All right. Okay.
Have you tried knocking?
I've tried I've tried banging on the door. Okay, so I tried.
Guys, wait. Do you smell something?
Oh, that's disgusting, Jack.
It happens. Bodies are
No. Listen. I haven't brushed my teeth in about a month, so...
No.
Wait a minute.
Do you smell it?
Oh, I do smell something.
No, I can't smell it.
Mm. He scrambles down from the tree, like, entranced. Where is that coming from? It smells amazing.
Can I roll for smell?
Roll smell check.
Let's take a good sniff.
Anyone who wants to do a good smell, do a perception check on your smell.
I have a 20 perception.
You
I
gotta,
feel like I
you,
would also smell.
You have to actively smell for this.
Yeah. I rolled a 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mara, you start to smell something.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I have a 16.
Olfactory D&D.
Yeah. I only did 14.
No, Red, you don't smell.
I got 7.
Jack's nose is stuffed. He's like kind of cold.
I'm too close to Doran. It's very powerful aura.
Yeah, I smell something too, Red says as he stands up.
Mara, you smell something savory and meaty and sweet, just wafting from over the ridge.
And it's horrible. It's like salt or something.
No.
It's about the stone, I think.
No, it's just, it doesn't smell bad. It just smells like meat.
Yeah. Like meat. I said it too.
Like me.
Like really, like he doesn't smell anything, but he's like really self-conscious.
Yeah.
I smell it too. It's meat, definitely meat.
Like a spoon. Sage and rosemary, I don't know. Like there's
sage and rosemary and parsley and thyme.
Doran, are you going to be a while still? Can we take a break?
Yeah, maybe. I was just thinking, I think it's two words. I think it is two words. We've already tried open up and come on,
Doran,
open.
Doran, listen. Maybe there's a tavern just over yonder where the meat's coming from, and maybe there's someone inside that can refresh your memory or refresh your tongue. Let's go. 5 hours is enough to spend, and Red picks up his pack and throws it over.
Maybe it's, I'm hungry.
It's the classic dwarven phrase.
And he like walks over and he grabs Doran's shoulders and like turns him away from the door.
No.
Yeah.
It's not I'm
Come
hungry.
On, Doran. And he like walks him as he's still mumbling to himself.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Up over the ridge, following your noses through the woods, you come to a campsite. There's a tall orc standing over a fire pit. There is like a stone oven that's been constructed. It looks like pretty well made. And there are several different pots of burbling sauces and stews. This orc is entirely entranced in what he is doing. There are packs and crates kind of littered around this small clearing. And he's muttering to himself, standing over this stove, this stone oven, and he's stirring something very thoughtfully with like a stick.
Hello?
Who's there?
Oh, my name is Red. This is my best friend Doran, my best friend Mari, and my best friend Jack, and that's Alistair.
Doran's got his axe out and readied. I can't believe you just said hello.
You fucking hear Orc Splitter. And she's like,
kill him, Doran.
Why would you alert the orc like that, Red?
What are you talking about? Relax.
Yeah, but come on.
Hey, friend.
What are you doing skulking around over there for?
What
are you doing skulking around over there?
Oh, what are you doing skulking?
No.
All right, everyone take a break.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry. That was wrong. Give me a second.
Okay, no. And Red turns to Doran. Doran, calm down. He's just cooking out here. Relax. Maybe he knows the password in.
You have no idea, Red.
What?
Do you have any idea what they're capable of? You're acting like it's we're walking up to an elf or a human here, but it's an orc. I mean, come on.
Whoa. Are you racist? I've been telling all my friends that Doran's a sweet little guy. Have you been racist this whole time?
It's not a matter of being racist. It's a matter of nature and instinct. I mean, they're killing machines. Look at them.
Well, you're the one holding an axe, to be fair.
The only reason he hasn't got an axe is because we got the jump on him, and you came out and started saying,
relax.
Hello? Oh, hello? Oh, I'm so friendly. Hi, I'm Friendly Red. Except you don't ever trust anybody that we actually should trust. What the hell?
Jack, can you believe this? Are you on this too?
I mean, I'm a little speechless. It smelled great, so we came over to see that. I mean, they're making something good in that pot over there, Doran.
Great. So let's just start trusting people that can cook well. Okay, that's a good reason.
I've been trusting bakers for a long time. I think it's not a far stretch.
Mari has wandered over to the talk to this guy, and she's just like about
roll
cooking.
For initiative.
No, yeah,
shit.
Put your knife
instantly decapitated.
I feel like if there's a visual in the background, you could see her be like asking about what's in the pot, and then sort of pulling some of the herbs out of her bag and being discussing do you use this one?
And this well muscled orc, who's clearly got battle scars on him. He's just totally zoomed in on exactly what you're saying and is picking up a spice pouch and discussing the muslin that he's used to wrap the spices in and blah, blah, blah. Oh. Then he throws his arms up.
I forgot to introduce myself. The name's Mugdul.
Mugdul, hi. I'm we've already been introduced, but I'm Mari, and this is fascinating. This is,
yeah.
What it does set up? Do you live out here? Are you traveling?
I feel Red's just so just calm down, and the three of us walk over to join.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, sorry about that.
He's got a fantastic setup. I want to trade some spices with you. This is some beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Well, now listen, before we. You sound like you know what you're talking about, but I can't just, trust any pedestrian. I've had some rude comments before about the way that I do things, and listen, I'm on my second cookbook, so I kind of know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Whoa. Wait, you cooked through,
you write
your
books?
Second, or you've written your second?
No, I'm writing my second cookbook.
Whoa.
Yeah, the
In
first
Orcish?
One.
In Orcish?
Well, they've been translated fairly widely.
Do you have any on you for sale?
I do.
Can I buy one?
I'd love one.
Mari, she goes, she's like, oh, and she reaches into her bag and she, that silver gnomish cloak? She wraps it around her neck like a little scarf. I'm just a little chilly.
Fine. Yeah, do you guys need a stack of first editions?
I just want one and I want it signed, please. And Red walks forward and stabs the front page.
Yeah, he nicks his finger with a knife that he has and he signs it in blood, Mugdul, and then puts a thumbprint in blood on the inside cover.
Oh,
I'll need two, one signed and then one I'm actually going to read.
I like you guys. This is great, yeah.
And he signs another copy and then gives you one that's uncracked.
Doran's he's looking at this orc cooking. He's kind of very skeptical. He walks up slow. He's kind of poking his eyes around the campsite, looking for maybe pieces or bits of hair, maybe an orc or maybe a dwarf. A dwarf's nose or toes or pieces of dwarven body parts that this guy...
The most sinister thing that you find is the head of an ibex.
Aha!
It's kind of like a
what's an ibex?
Like a long-horned mountain goat type thing.
What do you call this?
Well, normally I cook nose to tail, but right now I'm cooking just the limited four courses, so... I'm gonna take that back with me.
Did you steal this off of an ibex farmer?
I hunted it. What are you talking about? You
Doran.
Think I would steal?
Doran.
He gets right up in your face for a second.
I'm not saying you would. I'm not saying you would.
Doran, come on.
It's because of him that I haven't got that door open. I knew there was orcs around, so I was pretending I didn't know the password, and that's why we haven't got in because of this guy. Yeah, well, I knew there was enemies around.
What's the implication that you're playing at here?
I'm saying you're here to eat some innocent dwarf child, aren't you? Aren't you?
And he walks up and he opens up the pot, expecting to see the face of a dwarf's head
just
out
floating
like
in the
helmet.
And as he opens it, he smells and he looks. Oh. Actually, this is quite nice. Smells great. I mean, that doesn't matter. And he closes the pot lid again. It does smell very good, actually.
Well, thank you. My my first cookbook was criticized by some as being a little bit pedestrian, so I'm going for some stronger palates here with this second edition.
Have you tried a bland stew?
No, I haven't. I wouldn't classify anything that I make as bland. Actually, this is an interesting test audience here. Right? Tabaxi? A dwarf?
Hey, you knew what I was!
A gnome? A water lady? And a half-elf?
He knew Tabaxi, but not a Genasi.
Genasi? I'm so sorry. This is very ignorant of me.
It's fine.
I pride myself as being worldly, but I'm not very personable.
It's fine. I'm not taking it personally this week, and also, I want to hear more about all the stuff you've been cooking. She's flipping through the book, just trying to, sort of skim the recipes.
So the recipes look... I mean, cool on their face. Like some flavors that you've definitely never thought to put together before. Some recipes, maybe some ingredients, maybe that you've never even heard of. And all of the illustrations are like hand drawn and kind of like a ham-fisted effort at sort of depicting what the dishes could be plated to look like.
Oh, I love it! I want this to be real.
Is it just called Mugdool's Cookbook or Mugdool's Kitchen or what?
Mugdool's Cookbook number one, and he's working on number two.
I love that he put number one on it knowing that he would have to make a number two.
It was like World War One.
That's right.
Wow.
Wait, World War One? Oh, God.
Or is this just called The Great Cookbook? And Red pulls Doran aside.
Doran, come on, man. You're embarrassing us a little bit. Gotta put those biases behind you.
These aren't biases, Red. It's in our blood. Don't you understand that?
Don't trust him, Doran. He's an orc. You kill orcs.
Come on, Doran. I get it. Yeah, maybe it's, in your blood or whatever, but you gotta put those things aside, look at me. I'm a cuddly tabaxi who tried to kill you, and you let me go.
Doran's at his wit's end, I guess you could say, with the whole thing and now coming across this orc. And he grabs Red by the scruff of his shirt and he pulls him close.
Your breath is terrible.
Listen, the only reason that orc is being friendly is because he hasn't got his axe in his hand and we approached him and scared him. Orcs are inherently evil and he will do whatever he can to eat us and tear our limbs from our body.
All right, well, do whatever you want. And Red walks away and joins the cook.
Huh. And Doran sort of, he goes back to the door, but he's keeping his ear open for, potential fighting.
Sure, sure. So at the first sound of friend murder, you're going to be right back.
Exactly, exactly.
The inevitable sound of friend murder. Yeah.
Mugdool is plating up four courses for everyone who stayed behind. He doesn't have seats for everyone, unfortunately, so you're all going to have to just kind of stand around awkwardly with your plates. But
I have my own seat. Red has this giant stool he took from the giant thing.
Oh, yeah, you pull a full set of furniture out of the bag of holding.
Yeah, I have
and four chickens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a random thing.
Yeah, Mugdool is really pumped. He's like, okay,
it's been a while since I've done some taste testing, so this is really great for me. Let me say first that I came out to the Grey Peak Mountains because some of the best, freshest, most exquisite ingredients can be found on these very slopes here. The first course that I have for you today, and I hope you do enjoy, we have spark tomatoes on gingered rye bread.
Huh. And he passes around these rectangles of this light brown, kind of fluffy rye bread that have this stewed tomato, and that's what Doran had pulled off the lid to and had taken a big whiff of earlier.
The spark tomatoes typically grow later on in the autumn, and I jarred these myself last season.
Oh.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you want real... opinions on this, or are you just looking for someone to kind of boost your ego?
I
genuinely don't mind doing either, just to be crystal clear. Sometimes you just need a little bit of an ego boost, and sometimes you want to know if something's good.
At this point in my career, I need honest opinions, and this is why I think this diverse audience is going to give me what I need to make my cookbook a real, true success.
Respect the process, man. I respect the process. All right. And Red takes a big bite and eats it in one.
Mm-hmm.
Mari's like eating it, and she's just like, she's overjoyed. She hasn't had food like this in over a year, over a year at this point, and she's just like so happy. And she's like, oh, this is phenomenal. And she starts like looking at the other spices and sort of being like, have you considered using that type of pepper over there? That thing could be like as a finishing like option. Like it would be amazing. Just bring that out a bit.
Interesting.
Jack takes a bite and has just been like closed his eyes and slowly savoring it. And there's like a tear building up in the corner of one eye.
It's that good?
I just wish Torin could taste it.
Yeah, it's all right. I give it a 3.
A 3?
Yeah, 3.
Out of what?
62.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I mean, 1 is the best. It's like up. Well, no, you know what? Look, my brain doesn't work that way. I don't get rating scales. But I would say it was pretty good. It was a bit plain, to be honest. Just the tomato and just the bread. They're quality ingredients, but geez, that's what it needs. You need something in between. Otherwise, it's just tomato on bread.
He turns his back to you and starts shaking his head and muttering as he's plating up this second course.
See, that's why I asked. I knew he didn't want feedback. He just wanted us to say he's good.
You died.
Just say he's good for the next one.
You're just trying to invent pizza.
What? No, there's lots of stuff. I'm just saying it needs, like, okay, a mayonnaise or something. Some creamy texture. You know, you got this acidic sort of tart tomato, you know, a little sweet, but then you got the bread. It's kind of plain. You need something in between it.
It's fine.
It's bland. You guys have bland tastes.
You ate a rock.
That's right.
And some poison berries off of several bushes.
I also ate poison berries. I taste things. Believe you me, I taste things.
The refined palate.
Meanwhile, Doran, you've made your way to the door.
Doran's like grumbling to himself. Oh, I don't understand. Just how dangerous an orc can be, especially in the wild like that. All on their own. Maybe I was a bit harsh on the guy, you know. I mean, Orc Splitter, are you there?
Yeah.
What do you think? He seemed like a pretty nice orc, no?
You can tell anything, especially orcs.
You're really no good at talking about anything, really, other than killing. You're just a magical axe. What the hell am I doing?
What do you mean, just?
You know, I should really just go back and apologize for being so rude. You know, yeah, I think I will. After all, that food does smell incredibly delicious right now. I am incredibly hungry all of a sudden. Maybe I will just go back. Oh, but it's always difficult to admit when one's wrong.
And then you hear what you'd been dreading and fearing this whole time.
No!
Oh,
God! Oh, God!
I knew it! Come on, Red Orc Splitter, come on!
Yeah! Doran, get up there!
Doran, you rush through the snowy bushes, Orc Splitter in hand, though your heroic charge may ultimately be too late to save your companions from the nefarious designs of the hideous orc. Without you, who knows what evil has befallen them.
Once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S., Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C, Reagan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House. Woo!
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.